Okay, I'll talk about OpenECS, which is a web development framework, which is mainly used as a descriptive language TCL. So OpenECS stands for Open Architecture Community System, and for those of you who knew where it comes from the original Ars Digital Community System. Well, this has evolved a lot, and many improvement has been in the platform. So the basic infrastructure of OpenECS consists on this. The scripting language is TCL. As a web server, uses AOL server, which provides a set of specific API for handling usual things that you need for web development, and also can be installed in Postgres or Oracle. Or use Postgres or Oracle to actually store all the logic database tables, and can run in any Unix or Linux system, and as well on Windows, Mac OS X, and the like. So as a basic, as a main introduction, OpenECS has a templating system, which means you can write the actual files that the end user will see. You have two type of files. One is the .tcl file, which is usually meant to have the script file, which is, well, all your TCL code will reside, and will set up all the dynamic variables and the like. And also you have the ADB file, which stands for AOL Server Developer Pages, which is a markup file which will render all the content and the actual dynamic variables set up in the TCL file. And also in the ADP file, HTML is valid. Also in the OpenECS templating system, there is a way to work with page fragments. And when you are actually doing development for web development, that becomes really useful. For instance, you can include a certain page, another script, or you can reuse another script within your actual file using this tag, which is include, and you put the source of the other page and the like, and that other page will be rendered in that specific part where you actually declare the include. Also has a master-slave relationship, which is basically used to standardize the header and footer. Let's see a very simple example of how the master-slave stuff works. You have a normal script. This is an ADP kind of script, and you define the master at the very beginning of your script, which will call the actual master template. The master template, which is shown below, will set up all the variables. Can also have TCL computations and the like. And some part of the template will be inserted the actual code that the caller will produce. You see here below the slave tag, where the actual code of the slave will be actually inserted. You can have many master slave relations as you want. So a master can call another master that call another master and the like. So it's quite useful when you are actually constructing database websites, when you need to standardize the look and feel within a certain amount of pages or within the whole website. Continuing with the basic infrastructure of OpenECS, it has a database API which is designed to actually interact easily and naturally with TCL. Let's see this example, which is quite simple. One of the DB APIs is the DB for each, which stands, or it works quite similar as the for each command of TCL. In this case, it will loop against all the rows that this specific query returns and execute for each iteration the code that you define in the code block below, which means will be executed the query will return all the rows, and each row will be execute a code block, and you can do whatever you want with these variables that will be automatically set within the code block. One important thing to mention in this example as well is you're passing a variable to the actual query, which has a column in front of the variable. This is a specialized syntax within OpenACS that is specifically designed to actually handle the querying that some databases needed when you are sending data. For instance, you see in the variable title that there is a Conan O'Brien quote there, and you need to escape that quote when you are sending the variable. So this is an specific stuff built in. There is also another set of API for interacting with the database. For instance, we have a DB list of list or a DB list, which all the data that came from the database is passed to a list. So the idea is to interact quite easily and quite naturally with Thico. We have also many things that we call them declarative programming style, which is quite normal among Thico. We have seen other examples, but mainly the idea is move from the paradigm of saying I have a normal procedural programming style of script and moving to a declarative sequence. In a minute I will show an example of that. But basically, the declarative syntax will actually reflect how I want a given application to act based on inputs. In general, the results of having a declarative syntax lead us to a more robust applications and more readable for the programmers. So let's analyze a given example. This is ADform, which is a web form management, which means basically a proc to actually create and manage all the interactions with the HTML forms that you might create. So in this case, first you call the AD form. You define a name, of course, for the form, which will be the same name in the HTML code generator. And then you have the form code block where you actually define the inputs that you want to have in your form. You can also define, for instance, we have value, which will be a text area, and the value will be a text area, and we'll have this sort of rows and columns, and we'll have a label that the end user will see, which is enter text or something like that. If the key value for AD form is passed, it will execute, if it exists, the select query code block, which is basically a SQL query that will prefill the form with data. This key facility is specialized and designed to actually interact with database with data in the database. When the user submit, you can also define what you want to validate. In this case, we are validating that the text area list has three characters. If the validation pass, then you define two possible code blocks. One is for inserting new data, and one is for editing new data based on if my table key is passed or not. If it is passed, it means that it's already, we are in edition mode, and if it's not passed, it will be created, and means that it's a new data. And then you define a code block that will be executed no matter if it's an edition or an addition. So as you see, this is a declaration of how I want my web form to behave. We have similar examples, like the list builder, which is used to create sophisticated table-like reports with many popular capabilities, as you can order by column, you can have a built-in pagination, or you can have bulk actions or stuff. And also OpenACS, since it's a modular system, I will explain later, you can also manage in a declarative form the upgrades. Talking more about the OpenACS advanced infrastructure, OpenACS consists in a set, is a very modular system which consists in a set of packages. This is the normal directory that you will see in your file system as your OS. There is the root of the actual installation, the package directory where all the packages will reside, and let's focus on the forms directory, which is the form directory for the package application, which will have many different directories. The first one that we see is the catalog directory, which Inside of it are all the message catalog to actually show the user interface in the languages that you want to translate your application to, which means basically that your application will be internationalized. In other words, that the user can select in what language he wants to actually browse the application, or the administrator can set up a default language on the like. As well, there is a lib directory, as I said, is for reusable TCL/ADP pages templates, like using the include tag. You have a SQL directory where all the actual data structure will be stored when installation will be used for actually putting in the database. You have the TCL directory where all the TCL library will be, which means all the procs, all the initialization procs as well, the scheduled procs and stuff like that. And then you have a very important one directory, which is www, which is the package document root directory, which is indeed aimed to actually for the to where all the end user scripts and pages will be. So the user will see whatever is inside the www directory. We have a package manager, much like any OS package manager, where you can see which packages are installed, which packages, which is the version of the package. If you can install more packages, you can upgrade the packages and all the like. Then comes another important feature pretty related to the packages, which is the sitemap. Basically, the sitemap is a collection of TCL procedures, database structure, parameters, user interface to actually map the package document root to visible URLs. So let's take this as an example. We have our forms application, which in the file system is in this directory, and the user pages are in www in this directory. But as a website administrator, I might create a foreign application which will be mapped or seen to the end users in this directory. So I have my server /tcl/forms and will be a mapping between any request that goes to this directory in my website will be actually serve scripts that are in the www directory, which means that the sitemap allow us to actually reuse applications. So I can mount another application in another place and actually have the same application with isolated data in each one of the instances. So I can have another forum, and each one of the forums or the instances can have its own set of permissions, which means, for example, a given user can get into the TCL forum and can post threads and can comment threads, but might not be able to do it as well in the cPyramid forum because each one of them has its own permissions sets. So each one of its there are packages instances. These are packages instances. And how we manage this, the sitemap help us to actually know which is mapped where within our public website, but all of this is handled as well with the what we call the request processor, which is explained right here. Actually, the image is not really good for seeing because it's a little bit not good. But anyway, what it basically does is the request processor is a very lightweight, thin TCL filter, which also uses some of the AOS server API. But it's basically a TCL filter that any request that comes to the site goes to the TCL filter, and it actually says, okay, I am requesting a given directory. I will see if that directory is in the sitemap. If it's in the sitemap, I will authenticate the user and see if he has enough permissions. If he has the permissions, I will authorize them. I will find which file is the I will find the correspondent file in the file system, actually process the file and serve the contents. So that is how it works, the sitemap, the package instance, and the request processor in a very short way. And all of this is possible through the OpenACS object system, which actually is not an object-oriented programming language or nothing to do with that. It's just a central SQL table. In the simplest form to explain that is a central SQL table, which is called ACS object, where all your applications can be linked to, or the application that you want to be ACS object enabled, because OpenACS design in the design has a common vision where that one should be able to actually build common services to other applications. For instance, I have a blog application where I post a blog entry and I can add comments to the blog. Also, I have a phone application where I post a thread and I can add comments to the thread. So both applications has a common functionality, which is the comments functionality. So OpenACS provides a comments service to the applications to use it, and we tie everything, all of those things, with the object system. Many other services are like comments, permissions, categorization, just so you can categorize whatever you want within the system, expose your actual objects to the search engines. Recently, we added these callbacks, which I will go really fast, but this is an example. Since we have a modular system, we want to keep the call of each package inside each package. But the main problem is that when you need to execute wide system actions, how to deal with this, how to know which packages are installed, and how to keep it in its own packages. So what we do is basically create what we call callbacks, which is you call a callback, and the callback will execute the package logic for each one of the packages for the given process that you want to execute. For instance, we are removing a user here, but we need to remove the user at the forms package level. We need to remove the, for instance, the calendar items that the user have entered and stuff like that. So this is quite simple. You define the callback and implementation per package inside the package directory. And basically, OpenACS core uses SQL introspection to actually find which callback needs to be executed, which callback are available, and execute them. Other OpenACS tools that are available that I would like to talk more, but we don't have enough time, are the content repository, for instance, which actually gives you for free to your applications to manage revisions, for instance, manage tree-like structures, folder structures. We have many tools for developer support to actually also build automated testing within the website. And internationalization, as I mentioned. So you can internationalize any application that you might have. And we have the concept of vertical applications, which means a set of packages working together from a more robust and more, let's say, application domain, more complete application domains. For instance, we have a project manager, we have a communities of practice, we have probably the most successful project vertical application within OpenACS is the learning management system known as .learn, which consists in about 35 packages or something like that, that can work independently, but together work, give a given application. Just to talk a little bit about .learn, it's pronounced .learn, and it's a full-featured learning management system with extra community capabilities, as I have shown here. Really quick, has many adopters, many big universities like Vienna, Valencia, and my university, which is Galileo University. Also some e-learning projects like the ELEAN, European Latin American New Education Project, which is using .learn as its foundation technology. And, well, just to have some conclusion about our presentation, OpenACS is a complete web development framework. A lot of the core foundation logic is stored in TCL. About 120,000 lines of TCL code just for the OpenACS core. TCL has shown to be an extremely flexible and powerful scripting language. I think it's pretty good for creating web-based application which interact with the database. And OpenACS, of course, is a good option for to create any kind of website or of any kind or size. And if you have you want further information, you can visit the openacs.org site. So I think that's the presentation on time. Further questions? Yeah. Yes?
So if I wanted to have a bit of tickle code so that when someone came in and hit the website, I wanted to go off and query some proprietary database network server or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
If that takes a while to do, does that slow down other users, or do you have some kind of event loop non-blocking way?
Well, I think that's managed through the AOL server science. Each request is, as far as I know, creates a new thread within AOL server, so it's completely independent. So if one user is experimenting some slowdown because something, it shouldn't affect the others. But in reality, not always happen like that. No, but actually, it's quite independent. Yeah. Another question? No more questions? Okay, we are done. Thank you.